Good afternoon. This is Carol Bond with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated January 17, 2017. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with an article headlined, Civil Rights Fight Continues for Decatur Youth, and this was written by Chris Lusvardi. Carly Mann wanted to take part in the 31st Annual Freedom March on Monday. The 7-year-old knew it would be a long walk from the Decatur Civic Center to the Church of the Living God Temple No. 1 at 1915 North Martin Luther King Jr. Drive in honor of the slain civil rights leader's memory. Although the weather was foggy for the march, rain held off until after it ended, so Carly decided it would be the perfect chance to ride the hoverboard she had gotten as a Christmas present for the first time outside. For now, her father, Johnny Mann, said learning about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy was an important lesson for a second grader. Quote, "We can appreciate how far he brought us and carry on his legacy," Mann said. "That's what this is all about. We're almost there. We're not there yet." The program, which attracts participants of all ages, is intended to showcase and inspire the youth of the community in particular, said Derek Thaxton, chairman of the Decatur Human Relations Commission. That panel organized the event. The theme for activities the weekend, which included a luncheon Saturday featuring author Leonard Pitts Jr., was, quote, "Drum Major for Justice. What is your legacy beating to?" Children from the Boys and Girls Club of Decatur and Decatur Family YMCA participated in the march and the program, in addition to other youth who joined the gathering, Thaxton said. Quote, "Teach what you know," said Verzal Taylor, one of the Human Relations Commissioners. "They are our tomorrow." Minister Dion Comidge, the keynote speaker, said the drumbeat for justice theme is about more than being self-absorbed and creating a message of joint effort. Quote, "We all want that unity," Comidge said. "We want to think we're working together, but leave out that drum major. We're all going to leave a legacy. What is left up to you is what kind of legacy you leave." Comidge said everyone's legacy in the community is connected. Quote, "Our children are worth fighting for," said the Reverend Thomas Walker, pastor of the Main Street Church of the Living God. "And if you don't understand that, that's our future," he went on to say. "If you don't understand they are the ones that are going to carry our legacy, then you go ahead and be quiet while I go ahead and praise God." Quote, "We can help Decatur be the best it can be," Cooper said. "It takes all of us marching together in the Spirit of the Lord." Mayor Julie Moore Wolf said the community and beyond has come a long way, but it still has far to go in achieving its goals toward racial equality. Quote, "I look forward to working together in the days ahead," Moore Wolf said. "This community is going to be even greater." The event attracted a mix of elected officials and candidates for office. State Senator Andy Maynard, Democrat from Bunker Hill, said the need to make changes should be stressed even more strongly. Quote, "I have never felt the sense of urgency like I do now," Maynard said. "The fierce urgency is to right the path of so many things. It starts in schools and a house of praise." State Representative Sue Scherer, Democrat of Decatur, said the fight involves fair school funding and job creation. Quote, "We're here to keep up the good fight," Scherer said. "Things have got to change." Maynard said the fight will continue until it is finished, a point which hasn't been reached. I'll describe the photographs that we find within this article. One shows Jimmy Beasley, an adult who is waving at people who are onlookers, inviting them to join the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Freedom March as participants head north on Martin Luther King Drive. It's a dramatic feature because you can see that the line of people is long and it extends back into the fog. Another shows Soraya Calloway and Xander Click, both age 7, walking hand in hand with the Decatur Boys and Girls Club group and members of the Decatur Police Department, including Lieutenant Shannon Gutierrez Seal, during the march. Another shows Decatur Township Clerk Ada Owens leading a chant, "Keep Hope Alive," as the march participants head north past her. Finally, a picture from within the church shows members of the Main Street Church of the Living God junior dance team, including Heather Bailey, performing for attendees of the march service at the Church of the Living God Temple, another one. It looks like the sanctuary is packed as these younger ladies dressed in white dresses look as though they're praising and walking down the carpet as they move gracefully. Also on page 1, we find this article by Huey Freeman. Sheriff Holsapple passed torch of outstanding leadership. Lee Holsapple, who served 34 years in the Macon County Sheriff's Office, including 3 terms as sheriff, is being remembered as an honest, hardworking man who had a tremendous influence on many law enforcement officers. Holsapple, age 80, who died Sunday morning, served 6 years in the Navy and 2 years in the Iowa National Guard before joining the sheriff's office as a deputy in 1964. He steadily earned promotions to sergeant, then lieutenant, and captain before running a successful campaign in 1986 for sheriff. Quote, "It's a loss to the sheriff's office, but also to the community as a whole," said Sheriff's Lieutenant Tony Brown, who began working as a correctional officer in the jail in 1990. Quote, "He directed and orchestrated so many careers. His impact will be felt for generations to come." When he was asked to list his greatest strength by the Herald and Review during his first campaign, he wrote, quote, "The ability to communicate with others, to achieve a common ground without using coercion or intimidation." That was more than a campaign boast, but something that he consistently lived up to, according to those who worked with him. Rick Bright, who worked in the sheriff's office for 30 years and remained friends with Holsapple after their retirements, said he was a personable leader who knew everybody's names and always greeted or spoke to those who he passed in the halls. Quote, "If you make an error, you got your chewing out, and 10 minutes later, you'd be having a cup of coffee, and it was never mentioned again," said Bright, who retired in 2007 with the rank of captain. "He was a great leader that led by example. He taught us to respect people. He said it wasn't a job, it was a career, and it took a special person to be in the career." Holsapple ran a well-organized, no-sense, no-nonsense office while answering his own phone and responding personally to everyone who reached out to him. Quote, Service to the public was his utmost priority, and respect for the public and respect for each other, Bright said. He loved the department with all of his heart, just as he did his family. When John Butts was 22 years old in 1989, he was applying to several law enforcement agencies. It was Hulsapple who saw something in him which led to his first job as a deputy. Quote, "It's been an awesome office to work here," said Butts, who serves as administrative lieutenant in the sheriff's office. Quote, "Sheriff Hulsapple had all the characteristics of great leadership. He was loyal, compassionate, ethical. He ran the office like a business. We were all accountable. He understood we would make mistakes. He told us we'd learn from our mistakes." After Hulsapple promoted Butts to detective, he taught him to always follow through with the people who were affected by crime, to pick up the phone and call them. Quote, "He had compassion for crime victims and for us," Butts said. While Hulsapple was sheriff, Butts looked forward to going to work each day. Quote, "It was an office where you could be proud of working," he said, adding Hulsapple made improvements such as bringing a chaplain and mental health professional into the jail. Quote, "He had vision and values and was a man of faith." Ed Culp, who served 20 years with the sheriff's office before retiring as chief deputy in 2010, said Hulsapple was the reason many who served under him went on to become leaders. Quote, "He had a commanding presence," said Culp, who now serves as chief of the Decatur Park Police. "He was a hands-on guy. He would step in to do an interview. If need be, he would arrive at a crime scene." Culp said other law enforcement officers who worked with Hulsapple also adopted that style, including Tom Schneider, the current sheriff, and himself. Quote, "He wasn't just tied to a desk," said Culp, who was hired by Hulsapple after a stint in the Marine Corps. Quote, "All of us who hired under him have done well rising through the ranks. He wasn't just elected. He earned the title of sheriff." Hulsapple was a captain when Jerry Dawson was first hired to work in the jail in 1977. After Hulsapple took the reins, he promoted Dawson to sergeant and lieutenant. Dawson went on to serve as the sheriff from 2003 to 2008. He credits Hulsapple for boosting his self-confidence by showing confidence in him, especially by letting him run the jail when the superintendent was on vacation. Quote, "I don't remember Sheriff Hulsapple ever taking vacations," said Dawson, now a city councilman. "He was old school. He was always at work, always on top of what was going on. He was very dedicated to the office. He expected you to work hard as he did himself. He led by example. The county board should forever be in his debt. He was very frugal with taxpayers' money." When Brown was fresh out of the Army, his mother saw Hulsapple coming out of a drugstore and told him her son needed a job. The sheriff called him, hired him, and later asked him to be a DARE officer to speak to youths about drug abuse. Quote, "He helped me to get along with my career," said Brown, now head of the Sheriff's Investigations Bureau. "He gave me the opportunity to do something I loved doing." A photograph with this article is from the H&R Files, and it shows a photograph in 1970, 1969, where Hill Holzapfel received promotions during his 34-year career, and in the picture, he's with Recovered Evidence while serving as a sergeant in 1916. I'm not sure what this evidence is. It's a huge barrel full of something that might be shotgun shells. We turn to page 3 now, and we'll read an article written by Chris Lusfardi. It's a headline, Decatur Council Eyeing Start of Sewer Repair Work. To the relief of some area residents, the city of Decatur is moving closer to beginning work on major sewer repairs across town. The City Council is expected today to consider accepting the bid of contractor SAK Construction for a rehabilitation project on Decatur's west side. The nearly $8 million project is an area identified as needing attention even before recent discussions began about meeting U.S. Environmental Protection Agency requirements, City Manager Tim Gleason said. After discussions with the EPA, the city is expecting at least $70 million worth of sewer work to be necessary. The council approved last month raising sewer rates beginning in May. Quote, this is the start of what has been included in the U.S. EPA discussion, Gleason said. Work on the West End could begin in March, with completion anticipated in fall 2018, Gleason said. The bid is contingent on Illinois EPA approval. In addition, the council will consider approving $4.8 million in construction engineering and resident inspection services for the Nelson Park Combined Sewer Separation Project. Residents in that area are looking forward to that project moving forward, said Brad Berry, who is involved with the Nelson Park Neighborhood Organization. They've been waiting for repairs to be made while the sewer has at times backed up into houses, he said. Quote, we're looking forward to hearing an update. Gleason said the city is coordinating with the Decatur Park District while finalizing easements in order to be mindful of changes and additions that are being made in that area. He doesn't want to pour concrete in a spot only to have to dig it up again soon after as both sets of projects proceed. If it stays on its projected timeline, Gleason said sewer work around Nelson Park could begin this summer and be finished in fall 2018. The bid for the sewer work on the west side complies with Minority Business Enterprise, or MBE, requirements, which Gleason said has been a recent point of emphasis for the city. It is hosting a minority contractor forum from 1:30 to 4:30 p.m. Wednesday at the Decatur Club, as it looks to increase the number of minorities included on public works projects. All of the sealed bids for the West Side project met the city's requirements. Gleason said SAK provided sufficient evidence of making a good faith effort toward including minorities as required. Another article about city council workings has this headline, Mount Zion plans four-way stop at Main and Broadway. This was written by Ryan Voiles. One of the busier intersections in the village could soon be getting an upgrade. Officials unveiled a plan during Monday night's meeting of the Village Board of Trustees that would turn the intersection of West Main Street and Broadway into a four-way stop. Only Broadway currently has a stop sign at the intersection. Village Administrator Julie Miller, said the change came about due to the poor vision for drivers coming off Broadway and turning left onto Main, as the police department facility creates a dangerous blind spot. Quote, "You have to pull out so far to see that your nose is basically out on the road," Miller said. So you have to pull out so far to see that your nose is basically out on the road. Several accidents have been reported at the intersection in the past several years, including a scene last year where a vehicle unknowingly struck a child on a bicycle. The child suffered minor injuries. The Village Board was provided three options to alleviate the problem: shifting the existing stop line farther up into the road, pushing the stop sign and sidewalks farther out into the existing road, or creating a four-way stop. The third option was the choice, as Miller said the first one was unlikely to be approved by state and federal agencies. The second option would be, quote, significantly more expensive than creating a four-way stop. One concern expressed by Mayor Mark Wells was the possibility that traffic could be affected during school hours, especially with the Village Fire Department less than half a mile east of the intersection. But Miller expressed hope that the stop signs would help the flow and speed of traffic, and she believes that the signs will further encourage the use of Braves Parkway for those going to the schools. The plan is part of a larger Broadway reconstruction project and a sidewalks project. The former will cover Broadway from West Main Street to Illinois 121, while the latter will bring several downtown sidewalks into compliance with American with Disabilities Act requirements. The work will largely be covered by federal funds provided through the village's membership in the Decatur Urban Area Transportation System. The village's costs will be about $280,000, which includes engineering for all projects. Officials are still waiting to hear back on an environmental study and approval from the Illinois Department of Transportation before the intersection plan can be put out to bid. The hope is that approval will come in time for the project to be bid by July, though Miller said it looks more likely that it will have to wait until next winter. Also on page 3 is an article written by Donette Beckett with this headline, "Millikan Cheerleaders Cheer on Students." Steve Frazier brought his 4-year-old daughter, Hazel, to the Millikan University cheerleading squad's cheer camp on Monday to learn important life skills. He was hoping his little girl would learn to work with others and follow instructions, but he knows she had different reasons for joining the one-day activity. Quote, "She's been wanting to be a cheerleader for 2 years now," he said. "She just has an older brother, so she's having a good time here." About 30 young girls attended the camp with 18 Millikan cheerleading instructors. Sabrina Behrens, assistant cheerleading coach for the Millikan squad, said the students get to play with their friends during a day off from school, but they also learn cheerleading techniques and gain coordination. Quote, "They think they're having fun and getting a t-shirt," she said. The instructors taught the students proper moves, such as how to hold their hands and keep their arms straight. They teach in a way the children will understand. 4-year-old Madison Davis began the morning by doing activities she already knew. Quote, you get to do some exercises and play some games like Duck, Duck, Goose and Simon Says, she said, and dancing is cheerleading. According to Behrens, the college cheerleaders also gain experiences during the event. The girls see the coaches' side of cheerleading. They learn how to effectively lead a group of kids. It is very different than being around their peers, she said. Quote, teaching cheerleading is a different skill, but it is applicable to any number of experiences outside of cheerleading. Millikan cheerleader Bailey Krullman enjoys the opportunity to be a part of the camp. Quote, they love it, which makes us love it just as much, she said. The children often emulate the older girls, making the job of teaching easier. Quote, we are like their role models, said Morgan Kuntz. The students will perform with the Millikan girls during halftime of a future men's basketball game. The cheerleaders see this opportunity that it only encourages the children to do better. Quote, they get really excited about performing in front of the big kids, said Millikan cheerleader Ariana Johnson. The camp is held as a fundraiser supporting the Millikan cheerleading squad. The team is almost entirely self-funded. Other fundraisers include car washes, silent auctions, and sales. According to Libby Spellman, head Millikan cheerleading coach, the camp is also another opportunity to bring the community and Millikan together. Quote, a lot of the kids may stay in the area, so it is good to have them learn about Millikan cheerleading, she says. It is a little bit of an early recruiting for us. Photographs show Ella Hinton, age 5, and Dariana Slade, age 6, being lifted into the air by the Millikan University cheerleaders. Another shows Micah Talbert and Madison McCormack, who are completing a dance routine, ending with thumbs up at the Decatur Indoor Sports. Pictured in the final photograph is Ariona Auten, who is working with Millikan University cheerleading coach Libby Spellman during the camp. They are face-to-face, both smiling and doing what is a typical cheerleader move with hands outstretched to either side. Everyone in all of these photographs has a big smile on their face. The A3 Briefs column has this article about a hospital merger. Shelby Memorial Hospital in Shelbyville officially changed its name to Good Shepherd Hospital on Monday after completing a merger with Hospital Sisters Health Systems. Representative from HSHS, which also owns St. Mary's Hospital in Decatur and St. Anthony's Memorial Hospital in Effingham, along with hospital CEO Marilyn Sears, asked the Shelbyville City Council Monday night to amend a revenue bond agreement the city administrators to reflect the new hospital name. Good Shepherd needed the change in order to renegotiate terms of the revenue bonds, which do not use any tax dollars. The council also approved a one-day liquor license for the hospital's Red Event fundraiser in February. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the January 17th issue of the Decatur Herald and Review. Please stay tuned.